You're listening to TSN 1200.
Let's start with some good news and some bad news. The bad news is...
It's early in the morning.
It's a little early in the morning.
Okay, so what's the good news?
Today is Thursday.
What's so good about that?
What's so good about it?
The week is almost over.
Almost over.
How long do you think a week is?
A week is a very long time.
Oh, I've had a really long week.
It's almost over.
It's almost over.
So let's get back to work.
You folks ready for a show?
It's showtime.
TSN 1200.
Week's almost over. So that's why we call it a full Friday, Thursday morning. Simmer's already on cruise control, heading toward his dirty weekend in Montreal. So it's going to be
putting a lot of pressure on me to perform here.
Mail it in Friday, followed by a weak need Monday.
Better here than in Montreal, Simmer.
It's a good point by you on that one.
Yeah, that's excellent point.
Here's the reason, by the way, that NFL game is important tonight. Because if Green Bay wins the game, as we know, the first tiebreaker is head-to-head. So if Green Bay wins the game, they'd be tied with Arizona for the best record in the NFC at 7-1. Now, there are some other teams at 6-1. I get that. But for the here and now, both teams tied at 7-1. But Green Bay would have won the game and therefore had beaten Arizona head-to-head. They would have the tiebreaker. And therefore, don't forget, with the expanded playoffs now, only one team gets a bye in each conference in the playoffs. Okay, okay. So it's important to try to finish atop your conference. Yeah. You get home field. Et cetera, et cetera. I read some stats this morning. I knew that if you pick in our pick 'em pool, and 2 points again if you pick the visiting team and they win, that visiting teams are winning more often. Last year was the first year in which the visiting teams won more games than the home teams. It was by one game. It was like 127 versus 128, but it was explained away as, hey,
COVID, empty stadiums
in a lot of cases, right? There weren't fans. Yeah. Yeah. This year, you know what the number is this year? It's 50 wins for the home team, 54 for the visiting team. It's a 48% win rate for the home team so far in the first 7 weeks of the NFL season.
Yeah, and I know when we discussed this before, JR, even going back, I think we were all a little surprised, but it really does speak to, outside of Seattle, like I can't think of many situations, and you also point to L.A. now, certainly to Vegas. Miami has always been where there's as many road fans as there are home fans, right? And what I also think this is going to lead to, it's not already happening, I think a lot of people will tell you in sports, and especially in football, sometimes being on the road and being on a hotel is a little bit easier to keep your focus. So time to check into the hotel if you're at home.
Hey, JR, you've got some connections here with this pick 'em pool, correct? You got some push.
I don't have any pull.
Well, you got your points for week one, so I figure you know who to talk to.
Those were legit.
If you take a look at the overall points, there's some fool on here with the name Matt Hamer Sucks that is second overall.
Is he really?
At 122.
Wow.
Now, I've hired some PIs.
Is it your wife?
It's my oldest son. It's Carter, who is number two here with 122 points.
Your son is second not. In our pick 'em pool?
He's second overall in the pick 'em pool with Matt Hamer Sucks.
Oh, my God.
Can we just get him eliminated completely, please?
You could cut off his allowance if he gets an allowance.
He does not get an allowance, nor does he deserve one right now.
He should be going to HR about your own son.
That's it, exactly.
Who's our leader?
Our leader is Ken A. Now, there's a three-way tie. Ken A.
Yeah.
Matt Hamer sucks.
Yeah.
And then Matt.
Okay, all three of them are tied.
All three of them are tied.
So Matt Hamer sucks
points.
Is actually tied for first place overall. That's incredible.
That's what I see, yes.
Wow, good for him. I'm officially cheering for your son and that team name.
So you're not going to do anything?
No, of course not.
What does the son win, and is he eligible to win as a member of the family?
He is not.
There is no overall yearly prize. It's just the weekly prize of $100 from Baton Rouge. So
the fact that he's dominated his own dad.
I missed a week.
Well, it's proven to be true that at least in terms of the pick 'em pool, Matt Hamer does suck. Yeah. All right? And I think we can all agree on that. All right, let's get to the phones because we've had our contestant ready to go. And this is a familiar voice. Somehow was caller number 20 and got through. It's Gordon Smith. How you doing, Gordon?
I'm good, JR. Yourself?
Excellent, thank you. Now, Gordon, for those of us that listen to our Atletico Ottawa broadcast, chips in alongside AJ Jakubek, bringing his, because he's got the good, in this case, Scottish brogue, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes. So we know you immediately know everything about soccer, and you've been kind enough to be part of the broadcast all this year. But when you are not watching and or broadcasting soccer, are you a backyard barbecuer?
Well, not as much as I'd like to be. A lot of times I'm at TD Place doing games. But, yeah, I certainly like to dabble. I've got a Weber out the back that I haven't used as much as I would normally like to. But, you know, fingers crossed the new one would get a lot more use, that's for sure.
Okay, confirm or deny that you have had put haggis on your barbecue before.
I have never put haggis on my barbecue. I've had haggis lots of times before, but I have never had it on my barbecue, unfortunately.
What is the most Scottish thing that you would have barbecued in, over the years?
Oh, that's a good question.
Like, give us some good Scottish cuisine that's kind of maybe off the charts for the rest of us.
Well, there's obviously haggis, but then there's what we call black pudding, which a lot of people call blood pudding over here. But so that's another good one that's great for breakfast.
Okay.
Ayrshire bacon is another one that's kind of like sort of similar to back bacon, I suppose, but it's a little bit fatter as opposed to the streaky bacon, you call it.
So, yep. Okay. All right. Yeah. I like all that.
Also, from a barbecue inside, when you're out in full kilt, do you have gear on underneath or do you go...
Well, not in the winter I do simmer, no, but not in the summer.
Okay,
no.
That's what I thought. That's a big deal, right?
Oh, love those breezes, huh? Cool things down, stops the chafing. Okay, Gordon, you know the way this contest works?
Yeah, I do, unfortunately, and I hope to hell I don't screw this up.
Yeah, we hope.
I'll never hear the end of it.
Well,
AJ, for sure.
Exactly. All right, so, Gordon, I have a question for you. If you get it right, and there's a 50-50 chance, you get on the very short list to win the Traeger Grill, the Pro 575 pellet grill with the accessories and the rubs and the sauces, all the good stuff. You get yourself on the list that we'll draw from on Monday. So here's the question.
All right.
Are you ready?
I am so, yeah.
All right. It's not a haggis-related question, nor any Ayrshire bacon, nor blood pudding. What part of the cow does brisket come from? What part of the cow does brisket come from, Gordon? Does it come from the lower chest or does it come from the tail? What part of the cow does brisket come from? Does it come from the lower chest or does it come from the cow? I want you to think about this. I want you to use all your knowledge from your time in Scotland. And what is your answer?
I'm going to go with the lower chest.
You're going to go with lower chest. That's where brisket comes from. Interesting
choice.
Sure as
hell hope so.
Sure as hell hope so. You're absolutely right, Gordon. You've done it again. Way to go. Not only does this guy know his soccer, he knows his brisket. Congratulations.
All right, lads. Thanks very much.
All right. Good luck in the draw on Monday.
All right. Take care. Cheers.
All right. There he goes. Gordon Smith. Color analyst on our Atletico broadcast, calls in, is caller number 20, and skillfully solves our question.
So strong with that accent, Chair.
And don't you hear somebody with a British or a Scottish accent and go, obviously knows everything about soccer?
Oh, absolutely. You just have to have it in the broadcast mixed in. And another place on the bucket list, I've been to London. Never been to Old Scotland, though. I'd love to
Edinburgh?
Go.
Edinburgh?
Yeah, it's supposed to be gorgeous, eh?
My in-laws went to northern Scotland,
okay,
like way north, like as north as you can get where hardly anybody lives, and just described as very bleak but very interesting.
Yeah, well, you get into those here. I'm sure anyone goes on those golf trips, get a little change, a little variation in the weather, probably similar to our St. John's, eh?
Probably, yeah. Hammer, getting a lot of... Very early in the show this morning,
a lot
we were
of
talking
support.
About Halloween, and then we got into, because we went into the Halloween formula for how much candy you should buy, because Halloween's on Sunday, which somehow morphed, and I don't even remember how, into the discussion of cheesies.
Well, it's because I told everybody that's going to be handing out trick-or-treats, no pop, but the Hawkins cheesies.
Hawkins cheesies,
Hawkins.
Which I had never even heard of before. You decided to throw that out on social media and for some reason tag Simmer and I on it.
Of
and
course.
Now my entire timeline is filled with either support.
Oh, no, no.
For Hawkins, including Hawkins Cheesies themselves have their own Twitter account. They have weighed in.
Yes, sir.
Nice. All right.
I think a free box for Hammer. Absolutely.
No
hey?
No, no. I've got no problem supporting that with the money out of my wallet.
But, and of course, because he has nothing better to do, and this is what makes up most of Stu's day, he argues about what food is acceptable for the rest of society.
That's
right?
Stuntman Stu. Yes. he has weighed in on this as well. So now it's just, it's totally infiltrated my timeline.
Excellent.
So thanks a lot for tagging me on that. A lot of support, as I said, for including Stevie, for jalapeno cheesies. The very underrated snack. And again, part of the key with the jalapeno cheesies, Cheetos.
That's a key there, Jerry. Yeah. You can't Cheetos. Say cheesies.
Yeah,
Cheetos.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Cheetos is that it's the volume. The volume in the bag. Oh. So not like regular old cheesies or Doritos where it's 3/4 air.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jalapeno Cheetos, I'm telling you, man, per pound, price per pound, got to be the go-to snack.
I can't agree more. And what's also happening here in Canada, JR, as food prices go up, I notice a lot of products are getting more air in my bag. they're giving it to me on both sides now. I'm picking stuff up, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like,
Price going up and less in the bag.
I buy stick pretzels all the time, and I'm good PepsiCo. That's one of their brands there. I paid $5 the other day. I'm like, I don't monitor the groceries very often, but I swear this was $2 or $3 a little while ago, and just crazy where things are going.
You don't get that with Hawkins Cheesies either. I mean, you get a nice full bag there, and they're not, prices might go up, but you're not getting less. That's definitely not happening. I'm going to bring some in. I don't want to say I promise, but I'm going to try to bring some in tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm going to make it a point to remind myself and try my best to bring some Hawkins cheese.
You know what I want tomorrow as well, Hammer, for us? I want to have a pizza party. I want my Pico pizza because I haven't gotten it. And I don't know how long ago that was supposed to be.
Pizza party's supposed to be for your family.
No, that I'd rather share it with you fellas.
Because
I want to make sure that this actually exists. I have not seen any Pico pizza.
Absolutely heard you talk about it a lot. I've talked about it. I've read texts from people who love the Pico pizza.
Okay.
Thank you for bringing it up. Pico with 3 Ottawa locations, Richmond Road, Metcalf, and downtown at Rideau at King Edward. Check them out, pico.ca.
Hey, with all their ingredients, and they have a lot of ingredients, Hawkins Cheesy's one?
Is not, but interesting.
Can we get
because
that added?
I saw some texts from people who say not only love the Hawkins cheesy, but leave a couple of extra and squeeze the cheese dust and put it on their mac and cheese.
Yes, crush it as a topping on the mac and cheese.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that.
Necessary?
That sounds awesome.
Really? I'm picturing like cocaine being put onto the.
I'm also thinking you could do the same with the Cheetos jalapeno as well. That you can crush those up as a nice little top and a nice mac and cheese.
Oh! You know what we did at home? Now that I'm thinking about it, we made up some fish, and we ended up using the Cheetos for that. We ended up grinding up the Cheetos and putting it on the fish. Just regular Cheeto, JR. It was actually really good.
Sean has texted in at 12-1200, fellas. I know I'm early, but I'd like to send a reverse wrench to the commissioner of the mighty Matt Hamer sucks just because. That comes from Sean. Well, the owner, not the commissioner.
They will not be answered, and those reverse wrenches will not be thrown. All right, the Matt Hamer sucks team has to get shut down. And, JR, right now I'm really surprised that you're not doing more about this because you've got it in with the powers that be at this NFL pick-em pool.
I have no power.
And the Matt Hamer sucks team needs to get shut down.
How that was ever even able to go on there, Hammer?
Good
point. How is approved?
Who's looking at these names? We've got thousands of teams here. I don't think it would be much to make sure that they're all, you know, all clean names aren't attacking the personalities of this fine radio station.
I'm going with you to rate to HR at 10 a.m. Do we have HR here?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not sure where they're located.
Okay. We're going to Toronto.
Steve writes, I've loved cheesies out of the gate for almost 50 years, and I've never heard of Hawkins cheesies.
Oh, man, you're in for a treat then.
From Triple D, if Hammer's sponsored by these guys, Hawkins cheesies are no good at all.
I'm not.
And if it's actually a thing that prices increase and we get less for it, it's called shrinkification.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So if you want to trademark that, shrinkification? Yeah. There you go.
And also, if we're going 80s and we want to talk about Belleville Bulls, Hammer, might be before you, one of the pound-for-pound toughest players ever to play in the OHL was babyface Todd Hawkins. The Hawk, and they had a lot of tough guys. Anybody from the OHL back then was from Sudbury, but the Hawk, he'd throw him down. My buddy Denny Schoonard, first tour, very much a mama's boy, like mama's boy, big boy, but mama's boy. Their first venture to come see Denny play was in Belleville as we're swinging through Eastern Ontario. Poor Denny decides to fight the Hawk.
Bad idea?
Well, his visor at the time looked like if you had hit an animal with your car.
Oh dear!
And the blood was all over the place.
They just left it on there.
Yeah, it was. Okay. It there were spurts of blood coming through. The hawk gave it to old Chewy. There wasn't good.
Not good.
I'd like to confirm too. My wife has just sent me a grocery list. I'm going to Food Basics. Yeah. They have Hawkins Cheesies. I will be bringing Cheesies in tomorrow.
Have you
guaranteed?
Have you let her know what your son has done to embarrass you publicly?
My son broke the news to both of us last night. And she said immediately,
she loves
change
it.
That. Actually, she found it quite funny.
Yeah.
I was like, change that name. Can it not be changed? Can we?
I thought if somebody was doing that, it was the Russian lady that lives behind you.
Oh, that's true. The family, eh?
Well, the one that gave the bird was the woman,
bird
right?
To your daughter.
The double, yeah, the twin bird salute to my
right
daughter.
Here, I got a couple of these for you. Yeah. Mike in Alta Vista, more Scottish cuisine called a skirly. Tastes just like onion rings.
I go everything always, and I've never had blood sausage or blood pudding.
Blood pudding, yeah.
That was a big one of the favorites of Anthony Bourdain, and he went to Scotland, went to England, did all
it doesn't,
that.
You know, and I don't know what, I'm not even a huge pudding fan,
yeah.
And then you add blood to it. I got to say, just on name alone, does not sound appetizing.
But it's not technically a pudding.
I know.
I know. But the haggis as well, and I should have asked him.
Haggis is sheep's guts.
Oh, no, I've had haggis, but it hasn't been the best. But our good friend from the English-Irish store, Mikey there.
Yes.
We got to find out where to get a good haggis, because it is.
Isn't it the Scottish and Irish store?
Got that too. He's got both of them.
The English and Irish store.
He's got different locations, Jerry.
Blood pudding is a blood sausage made up primarily of pork and beef blood, along with the fats of pork and beef.
Again,
as well.
Blood. Blood being an integral part
and
of something.
Oatmeal to
oatmeal
keep it together.
Terrible.
Well, that's what haggis is traditionally, right? It was peasant food hammer. It was basically it's a version of a hot dog. They just put a bunch of stuff in it and
grind it
up, and it tastes great, though.
All right, we're off the rails. We'll get her back on. We'll take a break, come back. We'll get this thing back in line. It's all your guys' fault, as always. Right here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200. Brad Berry, our friend, the head coach of the University of North Dakota hockey team, is going to join us from Nashville, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. His team is playing down there. Don't know if it's a showcase tournament, if it's a one-off, whatever. It's I do know this, that both Pierre Dorion and Pierre McGuire, who are with the Sens in Dallas, are going to obviously watch the game down there tomorrow, and then they're going to fly to Nashville to watch Jake Sanderson and Tyler Cleven play for North Dakota on Saturday at this game. So Brad Berry will get caught up. We haven't talked to Brad, since the start of the season. We'll get caught up on how his two prized prospects, in particular Jake Sanderson, have looked so far. So we'll do that tomorrow morning.
Yeah, great to catch up with Brad. And nice for the fellas to go in and see him. And as a player, JR, when your general manager takes the time, along with Pierre McGuire, to go see you play, it means a lot, right? Probably an opportunity to say hi afterwards. And we'll see. And I have not looked at the rankings, but I don't think they're as strong as they were last year. So could lead to an early exit for Mr. Sanderson and maybe come to Ottawa.
I haven't looked at, have they become conference play already, or is all out of conference usually this early in the season?
I don't know.
I know this weekend obviously is out of conference, what they're playing, but I don't know their standing. Like if you win your, like if you go through your conference playoffs, of which remember they lost last year in the final in five overtimes, and then the winner of that goes to, did it go right to the Frozen Four, I believe, from there? So even if you're not as strong, in other words, but you're still the best in your conference. Like, everybody's looking at Michigan, right? They've got all the high prospects and everything. Everybody's looking at how Michigan's going to roll. But, you know, somebody's got to come from three other places to get to the final, to the Frozen Four, right? So, in other words, I guess my point, I have a long-winded way of saying this, that I don't necessarily know that that North Dakota's season is going to be tremendously much shorter than it was last year when they went to the conference championship.
Yeah, no, good point. And just looking at the schedule, they actually will play Penn State on October 30th, so that's interesting. And then they have a couple
of
games.
Is that a one game, or they play tomorrow and Friday and Saturday?
No, it just shows one game.
Okay.
They've been splitting, basically, right? They won. Well, they won a series against Niagara, split with Bemidji State, and then split with Quinnipiac, and then they'll get into a pretty big one with Denver.
That would be conference play, right?
Yeah, then Miami of Ohio.
Conference play.
Minnesota, Duluth, Minnesota, yeah. St. Cloud State. So
conference play, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, look forward to that. So that's coming up tomorrow here on the show, Brad Berry, head coach of North Dakota. Okay, 9:43. The big league team, as we mentioned, is in Dallas. They actually went down a day early, left yesterday, in part because this is their first trip south of the border since the pandemic. Mm-hmm. The Ottawa Senators have not played a game in the United States since March the 11th, 2020. That was the last hockey, any NHL game was the Sens game in L.A. If I remember correctly, I think they lost 3-2. They're back south of the border tomorrow night for the first time, taking on Dallas. So they went down a day early, I think in part because you're going through stuff for the first time in terms of protocols, etc. That's part of the reasoning, but I think part of it is just to kind of get the guys a client. You got a lot of guys who've, you know, haven't been with the team very long, so it's a chance and opportunity to get out on the road and be together. Yeah. And that was DJ Smith's stress point yesterday in his meeting with the media was, we want the guys to be together, but when you're out together, because you're allowed to be out and about this year as opposed to last year, just make sure you're together and not kind of out in the community, whereas we know COVID is still very much prevalent in society, in greater society.
Yeah, and also just from a distance, I was trying to look up quickly. Well, from Vancouver to Ottawa is 4,300 kilometers. It's 2,700
so
to
not
go
quite
there.
The same.
No, gosh, no. But I mean, it is still, if anyone's been there, one thing you notice when you travel to Dallas, JR, as well, from a scouting or hockey perspective, how isolated they are. Like, they may be the most isolated team in the National
is
Hockey
Dallas
League.
Is Dallas to Arizona not fairly quick? To Phoenix?
No, well, not bad, but a lot further than you would expect in the sense of Dallas is kind of, well, the heart of Texas, but also kind of the middle of the country. And no, it's a, I think they're, if.
Would it be a 2-hour flight?
Yeah, I think, but I think their closest opponent might end up being
Denver?
St. Louis or Denver.
Yeah.
You know, so like I said, at least in the West, you got your pockets and hey, Florida and Tampa obviously have each other and then you shoot up to Carolina. But no, Dallas, a lot of travel for Dallas.
All right, so it'll be Ottawa and Dallas tomorrow, 8:30. Dina Gord obviously will have the call here on TSN 1200. We could be seeing the season debut of a couple of faces. Dylan Gambrell is the player they acquired from San Jose on the weekend. He had his first practice yesterday. He arrived late Tuesday, went to practice yesterday, immediately gets on the charter and flies to Dallas. He didn't even spend 24 hours in Ottawa, but he's on the road, and yesterday was centering the fourth line, and potentially he could start tomorrow night, as could on his wing Austin Watson, who hurt himself late in training camp, has missed the start of the season with an injured ankle. He skated yesterday. He's not 100% to play tomorrow, but will likely play, barring a setback, at some point on the road trip, maybe tomorrow. Here's Austin Watson on what he's seen of this year's Ottawa Senators team compared to last year.
I think we're night and day from the start of last year to this year, just in terms of five-man units, the way that we're breaking the puck out, the way that we're supporting each other, you know, as five-man groups. And also, we're dangerous. I mean, we're as, you know, just like you said, kind of, sitting back and watching, we're as dangerous as any team in the league offensively. You know, now to tie that in, can we also defend and, you know, clean up those little parts of the games that are hurting us right now and still be dangerous offensively? I think that's kind of a little bit of another step for us to take.
I'll take a little bit of issue of dangerous as any team in the league offensively. I would agree if we're talking about the way the first line played on the other night and Shabbat and Zub playing together and playing like they did. Absolutely. That they had incredible performances the other night in a 7-5 loss. But top to bottom, it's a no stretcher to say that Ottawa is as dangerous as any team.
I felt some Smitty talk in there. I felt some Pierre Dorion. I felt that he was also sounding like Pete DeBoer in delivering the message. And he had a lot going on there. That was some real leadership. I'd also think JR with that ankle, whatever you have, like, man, if you've only stepped on the ice, I'd be a little surprised if you push it to play tomorrow. That just wait until Monday, as we all know, right? I mean, man, you want to be a absolute 110% on those darn things this time of year, right? The last thing you want is a setback. And like I said, I think having him in the lineup would be nice. The toughness, I think he legitimately does have a presence, can skate a little bit. So, yeah, it sure looks like those couple of moves could be an upgrade for Ottawa.
So those two, if they play, would take the place of Logan Shaw and Scott Sabourin, who played on Monday night. And that would mean that Zach Sanford, who has been, I think it's fair to say, underwhelming so far in his time since he was acquired from St. Louis. I mean, again, it's another fairly low-cost gamble. It was a fourth-round pick, right, that was sent for him to St. Louis. He's got $2 million, one-year contract for $2 million. So not a whole lot of money. You're not committed to him beyond this year. But I think based on his resume, I'd kind of thought that, and I don't know, you know, I obviously heard of him, But I was kind of, I've been sort of expecting more. Oh, he just doesn't stand out in the games. He doesn't do any one thing really that stands out.
No, I'll be honest with you, Eric, I had to keyed on him. There hasn't been any second effort, any emotion. Looks like a guy that, to be honest with you, doesn't want to be here. So, hey, what do you expect from him? Well, you expect more than that. Like I said, in this case, if it was just Logan Brown, you're trying to maybe reach a salary cap floor, but you give up a fourth round pick. The guy, based on his past, and that was my scouting report when I got it, was real. The highs are high, the lows are low. We've seen the lows, so hopefully hoping the old Gamble and Watson hop in, that maybe they can get a little something going, because he just, as I said, he's got to get more engaged. Simple as that.
Yeah. On Dylan Gambrell, I think part of the reason that the Sens had interest in him as opposed to probably a lot of other options in terms of, you know, fourth line players, centers in particular, he is a right shot. And if you think about the two centers that have gone down in front of him, Colin White in particular, and who am I gapping on? Who's the other one that just got injured?
Well, Pinto.
Pinto.
That's your boy.
Yeah, exactly. Those are your two right shot centers, yeah. Right? And coaches, you know, again, where now teams get to choose what face-off dot, right, on offensive zone face-offs based on icings or whatever. If you don't have a right shot face-off taker, mm-hmm. you could get taken to town. And Ottawa has not been, were they, before Monday, I believe, dead last in the league in face-offs? Did they have that stat, I believe, in the broadcast? I think that they did, if not pretty darn close. They haven't been good on face-offs. And then you don't have a right shot face-off.
Yeah.
So I think in part, and not that Gambrell has great numbers. I looked it up in the NHL. He's been below 50% in his two, you know, kind of cups of coffee.
Yeah.
So it's not been great, but it is at least does give you an option of a right shot center iceman to take face off.
Yeah, and it's such a big deal, JR, going forward. And again, back to a bit where how quickly do you see them lose a draw on the power play? Next thing you know, there's Thomas Chabot trying to bring it back up. Obviously, Pedley Killian's, you know, but that's a big deal as you move forward and evolve as a hockey club. And especially in the case of Norris and Pinto, you know, making sure that they're able to go next level. And Norris, I think last year got better and better on the draws, did he not?
Yeah.
For Pinto, I mean, it really, hey, you know, you want to make sure that's a big part of rounding out your group is starting with the puck.
Shane Pinto, by the way, I don't believe he made the trip. They've already said he's not going to play on the trip. So maybe best case scenario, doesn't sound like it was as serious as it first looked when he crashed into the boards. They said 1 to 2 weeks. So that was a week ago. So maybe best case is he's back next Thursday when they're home to Vegas. But it doesn't sound like it's long-term, but he's not going to play in the next three games. So pretty good chance we'll see Gambrell play. Okay, 9:51. We'll take a break and back with a final segment before we turn things over to the boys from In the Box coming up after 10. Don't forget the drive is on this afternoon at 2 o'clock, and we've got Thursday Night Football to kick off Week 8 tonight. Green Bay and Arizona. Get your picks in for our football pick'em pool presented by Baton Rouge Steakhouse and Bar. It's $100. That's our weekly prize. Free to enter. New game every week. Get online at tsn1200.ca. Back with the final segment next on TSN 1200. All right, final segment, 9:56. On this day in 1978, Bobby Orr scored the 270th and final goal of his NHL career. Having to retire at the age of 30, knee problems, scored a goal in the uniform of the Chicago Blackhawks.
So he would be 73. Would you? I would certainly put him in the category of a man that has aged very well.
Looks-wise, absolutely.
Yeah.
Atlanta Braves won their last World Series on this day in 1995, defeating Cleveland 1-0 in Game 6. Tom Glavine and Mark Wohlers, the closer, combined on a one-hitter to clinch the World Series for Atlanta. Of course, who are in the midst of trying to win another World Series. First since 95, tied right now 1-1 with Houston.
And I think a member of that club, boys, and if I looked under arrogant baseball players, I think the pitcher Chipper Jones would be there. I always just
third baseman.
Third baseman. Yeah. Man, I found just found him, yeah, very arrogant.
On this day in 2009, Steph Curry played his first NBA game, had 14 points in a loss to the Houston Rockets. Birthdays, Jack Eichel, 25 years old today. When, Simmer, give me a timeline. Yeah. Give me the month.
Oh.
When will Jack Eichel be traded?
We're
coming up to the 1st of November.
Yeah, I think right now he won't get traded, Jer. I think that it'll be at the draft.
So he sits out the entire year? Well, does he get his surgery?
Well, he gets the surgery, but I just don't understand. Buffalo's asking for a crazy amount. I'm not giving a crazy amount unless the guy has a surgery. At this point, if he has a surgery and apparently wants to play in the Olympics, which is in February, I don't know. It's just weird. I don't know how Buffalo is going to do anything, maximize the return, JR, until he returns to play. So I almost think he has to come back and either play in the Olympics or play for Buffalo. And then I wonder at that point if it's, you know, maybe I'll go trade deadline. I guess that's my guess.
That's interesting, Brent. I'd really forgotten about the Olympic angle as well. About
apparently, he's really pushing for that. That's a big deal for him.
Of course.
Yeah.
Kevin Dineen. Of course, with strong Ottawa ties, celebrating his 58th birthday today. And speaking of former, Ottawa ties, former Sen, wasn't here for a long time. Matt Cassian is 35 years old today. I believe Matt Cassian was involved in this very famous Ottawa Senators playoff moment.
Now we got Ryan White throwing him with Cowan here. At center ice.
This is not going to be good for Ryan White. And a big Donnybrook here as well with
Cowan's filling him in. Cowan's throwing bombs. And down goes White.
And Cassian now is on. Well, we got Chris Neal going at it with Travis Moan. And Neal is finishing him off. Oh, boy. Chris Neal continues to throw haymakers, Steve. Boy, oh, boy. Travis Moan hanging on. Now Zach Smith is going at it. And who's he with?
He's paired with Bouillon.
Oh, this is not a good one for Bouillon. Five fights on the ice all
at once. Look at Jack Smith filling in Bouillon.
Listen to this crowd, boys.
Listen to the broadcasters.
Nobody likes fighting. You get that's old school Shribes kind of junior hockey voice right there. And there couldn't have been from a matchup standpoint.
Oh, my God.
The five Ottawa players, it was just a complete beatdown here. Hey? Well, they were not ready for that.
Did not mention, so they mentioned Ryan White, who I remember as a kind of a smallish sort of a, you know, he was a feisty guy, but a smaller guy. Yeah. Francis Bouillon was really small defenseman, right?
Yeah.
Am I remember him correctly?
He was, yeah.
Travis Moan was a, remember him from Anaheim, right? Yeah. He was a big guy.
Middleweight.
Yeah. And they didn't mention who the other two. They didn't mention who Matt Cassian took down, and they did not mention who Chris Phillips was involved with as well. So that was the infamous or famous five fights on the ice. Yeah. Of course, probably Pageau scoring the hat trick in the same game and losing the tooth. Probably the bigger headline from that, but a very famous Ottawa Senator playoff moment. Matt Cassian, who was in the middle of that, celebrating his 35th birthday today.
Yeah, and from the Eller hit by Greiba on Eller, the rivalry was on, JR. And that game, I can remember being there, it was electric, and there was a big hit just inside the Montreal zone, and one thing led to another. And for Michel Therrien, who was old school toughness from his Quebec League days, it just didn't have a team like that. I mean, you're going to a street fight with the wrong crew in that one.
Indeed. All right, that'll wrap it up for us. We're going to turn things over to Steve Lloyd, Graham Creech, and Kenny Walls. And In the Box coming up over the next 4 hours. Lee, AJ, Matty Vowles this afternoon. And don't forget, again, tonight we got Thursday Night Football for you. Packers in Arizona should be a good one. We're back tomorrow morning on a wrench-throwing Friday. Sens game day is...